Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 8 of the Burning River Basketball Podcast on Burning River Radio. I'm Danny Cunningham. I'm joined by Ben Buckets Belden. Ben, you dressed up today. You overdressed for the podcast.
I certainly am overdressed. I have to coach a basketball game after this, so and I wasn't about to try to do a quick change here in my classroom as soon as we're done. So
Ben's wearing a shirt and tie, a nice warm-up jacket. He's drinking a Coca-Cola. He's been fixing his hair the whole time. It's really quite the sight to see, folks.
I'm feeling like $1 million right now. What can I say?
All right. Now, we haven't talked words into a microphone in quite a while due to some logistical issues. We haven't been able to coordinate our schedules, unfortunately. But quite a bit's gone on since the last time we spoke. Obviously, the whole Cavs and Carmelo Anthony thing, the Wizards winning 17 in a row at home with that streak bookended with losses to the Cavs, and the Cavs made a signing of Derek Williams. So there's quite a bit to tackle, but I want to start off with the Cavs victory over the Wizards this past Monday. Definitely one of, if not the best basketball games of the NBA season thus far. What'd you take away from that, Ben?
It was one of those games that the Cavaliers really shouldn't have won, I don't think, but they did win, and I think they needed one of those. If you'd have told someone that, you know, LeBron James was going to foul out right at the beginning of overtime, the Cavaliers were still going to win at when LeBron James fouled out and they were down 4, I might add. Probably someone would have said that's chalked that up to a loss for the Cavaliers.
Especially. Yeah, when he fouled out, the Wizards went nuts. They were so pumped. If you go back and watch the reaction of, I believe it was Bradley Beal, Otto Porter was on the floor, and they were going crazy because LeBron fouled out.
Yeah, they were well aware that he had 5 fouls, and when that 6th one got committed, I didn't even realize it, to be honest with you. And then I had switched to TNT because I wanted to see – I was waiting to see Charles Barkley after the game. It didn't end up happening because – the next game had started, which I believe was the Spurs and Grizzlies. But so I had switched to TNT, and they were like, "Did LeBron James just foul out? LeBron James just fouled out." I'm like, "Oh." So, but it was good. I think they needed one of those games. And then I think to a certain, maybe even just a small extent, it might get the monkey off their back a little bit that the Cavaliers can't win without LeBron.
I mean, it did take a Herculean effort from Kyrie in overtime. He did score 11 points in overtime. And Kevin Love.
Really poor game before that.
Yeah, I believe he only had 12 points in regulation, and he had 11 in the 5-minute overtime period. Kevin Love had one of his best games as a Cav. I think he finished with, 39 points? And
I believe so.
Was one of his best games since coming to Cleveland. But that game really told me that the Wizards aren't a threat. And the Cavs didn't – they played well, but with LeBron falling out, on the road, it's the start of a 4-game road trip or the second game of a 4-game road trip. Kyrie didn't play particularly well. Amon Shumpert was lost in the third quarter. They're still without J.R. Smith, which we don't talk about enough, I feel. And the Wizards still couldn't beat them. If there was a game for the Wizards to win against the Cavs, it was that one.
Yeah, and I guess to play devil's advocate on what you're saying, I 80% believe in what you're saying, but John Wall didn't exactly play well either. And then when he started to play well, third, fourth quarter, that's when, you know, I thought the Cavs pretty well had it. Third, fourth quarter, then John Wall started to create a little bit and make some shots. And then that's what kind of pushed it into overtime. And then that's kind of what, I don't know, that's what got, it's not what pushed them in the overtime. It got the Wizards the lead until LeBron James saved them. And then I don't know. So the thing that I guess worried me was John Wall doing whatever he wanted offensively. Like I say, shots weren't necessarily going in at the beginning, and then they started to there at the end. And Bradley Beal just
had a career night.
Yeah, just cooking just everybody that the Cavs threw on him, from, you know, Richard Jefferson to Amon Shumpert before he got hurt. Kyrie Irving spent some time on him also. So, I don't know. Those things kind of bugged me a little bit because just the Cavaliers pick and roll defense always bugs me, first of all. And then just even in one-on-one situations, Bradley Beal was pretty well cooking the Cavaliers. So I don't know. That bugs me a little bit over the course of like a 7-game series. If we're talking about whether or not the Wizards can beat the Cavs, probably not, by virtue of the fact that the Cavaliers have the best player in the world and probably conservatively another top 15 NBA player and then another conservative top 25 NBA player. And I don't think the Wizards maybe have one player in the top 25.
Yeah, I would agree with that as far as what you're saying with the talent that stacks up. But the Cavs aren't healthy, and I know that the Wizards have one of the worst benches in the league. And when you get into the playoffs, the benches get shorter, but I think that actually would favor the Cavs because they're not going to be playing guys like Kay Felder and DeAndre Liggins and Jordan McRae, which are the actual names of guys that played in that game. So I don't think the Wizards are really anyone that I'm concerned with. If I have to put a finger on their ceiling, I think it's very, very similar to Toronto last year. Now, there's three teams that I would like to see the Cavs face in the playoff, in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I would love to see them match up with the Wizards. I really want them to face Boston again, and I want them to face Toronto again. Obviously, all three of those won't happen because none of them are going to be the 8 seed, but two of the three very well could happen.
Yeah, and in thinking about those, I mean, of those teams, I guess that you mentioned, probably I'm most scared, and scared really isn't the word, but I'm just going to go ahead and use it. Most scared of the Raptors, probably, because they have a legitimate center that can score a little bit. They have a point guard that can run the pick and roll, and they have another guy that when he gets hot, he can put up a lot of points, and that's DeMar DeRozan. So if you're looking at and then they have guys like DeMar Carroll that can, at the very least, make an open shot and match up with LeBron a little bit enough to just make him not completely dominant. But
DeMar Carroll's a fake tough guy.
I tend to agree. But at the very least, he's a 6'8 athletic guy that can keep up with LeBron for the most part. So I guess if we're picking one of those teams, that's probably the one that I would be mildly concerned with. Also, then Toronto has a really great home court advantage up there, and I think that plays a little bit of a part in it also, although the Cavaliers clearly have demonstrated they don't really care about where they're playing basketball, seeing as they came back and took 2 of 3 from the Warriors in Golden State, at Golden State. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. So
against the 73-9 Warriors with the first ever unanimous MVP.
Yeah, and the same team for the most part, minus Dellavedova, but I almost want
to. And Timo and Dante Jones. You can't forget Dante Jones. That 5 points in 11 seconds, man. That's stuff legends are made of.
Hey, those 5 points, they needed those 5 points when he
at the time, that was a big stretch for him. And he got a foul on Draymond. That was a big stretch for Dante Jones. I wonder what he's doing these days.
He's probably, I bet you he's still in Northeast Ohio, to be honest with you.
You think he's waiting to be signed by the Cavs like the last day of the regular season again?
I don't know that I'd say that because they don't have the roster space for him, but
they will. I mean, Birdman's not going to be on the roster all season.
Yeah, but don't you think they're going to go for, I don't know, Mario Chalmers?
A proven champion?
I don't know that I would call Dante Jones a proven champion.
Does he have a ring?
He has a ring. You know who else has a ring?
Sasha Khan. Sasha Khan.
Yeah, him too. I was actually going to go with Mario Chalmers. Mario Chalmers
has two, doesn't he?
Yes. Was he there for the first Miami? Yeah, he had to have been. Yeah, so he has two. So there you go. And I'm not like a Mario Chalmers guy. The other thing is that Mario Chalmers is coming off of an Achilles injury, which is kind of a major big deal.
Yeah, that terrifies me.
I'm not an advocate of him in particular. However, I do think that getting another guy that can stretch the floor and run pick and roll at the very least, so it doesn't always have to be Kyrie or LeBron, I think that would be a help. And I think LeBron thinks that's a help. And so if they move that Birdman contract, or just cut him, I mean, you can just cut him and just keep him, let him sit on the bench. No rules against that. Then I think it's going to be used in kind of that direction more than a Dante Jones, but I could be wrong.
Now, obviously, they did sign Derek Williams the other day. Are you a fan of that? He got his first taste of action on Thursday in Oklahoma City. He'll play again tonight against Denver. Obviously, if you're listening to this, that game probably already happened, and he probably already played. But he'll be here for until at least next Sunday, a week from today. I would have to imagine he's going to get at least another 10-day contract at the minimum.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see him until March at the very least.
Yeah, and I like Derek Williams. I think that he's been on some bad teams, which have really sidetracked his career a little bit. And actually, in 2011, when the Cavaliers took Kyrie Irving, I wanted them to take Kyrie Irving number one, and then I wanted them to somehow try to move up from number four, where they ultimately took Tristan Thompson, and try to take Derek Williams number two. That obviously didn't happen.
How are they going to do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
What assets did they have to give up to get to number two?
Pick the next year.
But that was Deion Waiters. You can't. How about the tear he's been on?
Oh, gosh. And the Heat?
The Heat have won 13 in a row, and they're still not in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's sad.
That Although, is after their win last night, they now do control their own destiny.
Oh, that's good.
If they win every game the rest of the year, they will make the playoffs.
Which that's good that they can still control their own destiny in February. That's
which
great.
Which could not be said until last night. Because they are a game behind Detroit, and they play Detroit one more time. So if they win that game and every other one of their games, they will make the playoffs.
Good gosh. Good gosh. So anyways, to actually talk about Derek Williams – I do like the signing of Derek Williams. I expect him, like you said, definitely to stick around for another 10 days after his first 10-day contract is up. And I really am expecting him probably to be on the roster at the end of the season. He's a good enough shooter to be someone that comes off the bench for the Cavaliers. He falls in the category of players that the Cavaliers need, which is kind of like that swingman 3-4 type of guy that is athletic enough to guard on the perimeter a little bit and is also not a pushover inside either if he happens to get switched on to a big. So, and his true shooting percentage is actually not bad. And I don't remember the numbers, but I don't know, surfing through Twitter, I was like, is that seriously what his true shooting percentage is? And it was serious. So, and the other thing is he's only 25. It seems like he's been around for a long time, but I guess he kind of has.
Yeah,
but,
I looked his age up the other night. I thought for sure he was at least 27, but he is only 25. He was in college for 2 years at Arizona, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously was in the same draft as Kyrie, who's only 24, which is still mind-blowing that Kyrie Irving's 24.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know what it is, but Kyrie Irving seems like, even though he's been around for a while, he seems like he's a lot younger than Derek Williams, but he's just not.
It's got to be the hair.
I don't know.
Although I am happy that the Cavs added someone with flavorful hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they've got a they've got quite a few interesting hairstyles on the Cavaliers.
Well, they've got Iman Shumpert's relatively interesting now. Obviously, Derek Williams. They still miss Andy's hair. They're always going to miss Andy's hair.
Any desire for the Cavaliers to bring him back?
No, none. None. I am upset Golden State cut him. That was the... I couldn't wait for the narrative when the Cavs beat Golden State again this June that Anderson Varejao was 0-4 in finals.
A lot of Cavaliers fans just shit off our podcast because you said you hate Andy Varejao.
I didn't say I hate Andy Varejao.
I mean, that's basically what you're saying here.
I don't think he's a good basketball player anymore, and I don't want him on the Cavs because I don't think it makes them better. I'm sure he's a really nice guy.
I disagree with you.
I have met him before. He's a really nice guy, and he's got nice hair. He's just not good at basketball anymore, and I don't want him on the Cavs because he's not good at basketball anymore.
he was out there flopping around in the finals trying to steal a championship from Cleveland. That's why I don't really like him.
The man is 0-3 in the finals. I mean, it speaks for itself.
And he turned down a Cavaliers ring, which is also interesting. So, I don't know. But, yeah, to wrap up, I guess what we're saying, I think that Derek Williams is a good pickup, especially since they got him for next to nothing. And I hope he's around when we're playing Golden State in June.
I do, too. Are you set in stone that Golden State's going to win the West?
At this point, yes. I'm not. I can say that might change, but for the same reason that I think that there is no threat to the Cavaliers in the East, and that's that they have at least three top 25 players, I can say the same thing about Golden State. And, you know, the Spurs are really good and everything. And
I think Pop's got one last run in him.
Maybe.
I think Greg Popovich is inspired by what the New England Patriots did and coming back and winning a Super Bowl with their old man coach. And
oh boy.
Obviously, Tim Duncan retired, who was the equivalent of Tom Brady. But I think that they are inspired now, and they're going to win because those franchises mirror each other.
San Antonio has one top 25 player and nobody else that's even close.
LaMarcus Aldridge isn't close to the top 25.
It's debatable.
Not close. Where is he? And what do you consider close? Like, is 26 close and 27 isn't?
It's hard for me to say.
It's hard for me to say LaMarcus Aldridge is not a top 30 player or top 35 player. 25, okay. I can see him not being top 25. But he's got to be between 25 and 35.
I don't know. I don't view LaMarcus Aldridge as all that impactful without an elite type point guard. Because LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, he's most impactful when he's running the pick and roll and the pick and pop. I mean, he's pretty good if you throw it to him in the post also, but man, I don't know. I am trying to think of, I don't know. I just don't think that he has the same impact that he used to when he was younger and he was playing with guys like Damian Lillard and things like that.
I agree, but that doesn't make him a terrible basketball player. I think he's one of the top 35 players in the league.
Was it LaMarcus Aldridge that helped the Spurs beat the Cavs? Or was it more David Lee?
I mean,
who had a bigger impact on that game?
I think it was a lot Kawhi Leonard.
It was a lot Kawhi Leonard. Okay, that's a given. But out of those two, which big had the bigger impact on that game?
I don't know. David Lee always terrorizes the Cavs. David Lee is the reason the Warriors won the title in 2015. If you look at Game 3, which the Cavs won at home, they had a big lead, and David Lee had not played yet in the series. Steve Kerr put him in. The Warriors went on a run. They only ended up losing by like 8. And then he started the next game, and the Warriors just rolled in the next 3 games because David Lee was the answer.
Well, in conjunction with that, he also started Andre Iguodala and moved the lineup around a little bit so that they were playing basically like a super death lineup to start the game.
They did not have the super death lineup yet. They had the death lineup, but the super death lineup did not exist until this season.
They had a more depth lineup in the finals that year than they had played at any point in the regular season, I guess, with David Lee.
I don't think there was an emergence. No, the depth lineup is not David Lee at the five.
But that year is that's the one
depth
of the
lineup was the depth lineup. The original depth lineup was Steph, Klay Thompson, Draymond at the five, Andre Iguodala at the four, and Harrison Barnes at the three. The super depth lineup, you take out Harrison Barnes and slide KD in.
Fair enough.
The depth lineup did not have David Lee in it.
Okay. All right. Well, let me rephrase what I'm saying there is that they started the game quicker when they put David Lee at the five and then Draymond at the four and all of that. And it was closer to the depth lineup than what they had previously been starting with who were they even starting at center? Does it even matter? Not really.
Who was Bogut. It?
How do, was Bogut hurt that year?
No, I don't. Andrew Bogut wasn't on the team, I don't think. Let me look.
this is going to be really bothersome.
Speaking of Andrew Bogut, do you think he'll get bought out by the Dallas Mavericks? And if so, is he someone that you would want the Cavs to go after? Oh, yeah, Andrew Bogut was on the team that year.
Yeah, so it had to have been him. I don't know that he was starting all the time, though. I don't know. But
Him or Moses Bates.
Okay, so maybe it was Andrew Bogut. I don't know. Just had a really bad senior moment. But anyway.
Festus Ezeli might have started some games there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Do I want Andrew Bogut on the Cavs? No, not really, to be honest with you.
Because wow.
He doesn't fit anything that the Cavs do. I mean, if you're going to expect Andrew Bogut to switch on to a Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or somebody like that on the wing, then you're screwed, frankly. And I think they have enough bigs with Tristan and Channing. And I think that I'm going to categorize Derek Williams as a big.
He's not a big.
I mean, he can play the power forward.
He's not a big.
Well.
He's a tweener.
Okay. I don't think the Cavaliers need true bigs to play with Golden State. And I think they're going to be playing with Golden State.
But do they need true bigs to get to Golden State?
No. Who's going to kill him inside? Valanciunas?
Maybe.
I think I like the matchup of Tristan on Valanciunas, and I also like that if you put Channing Frye in the game, that Channing Frye is going to be shooting wide open threes all the whole time.
Very true.
Or if they switch him on to Kevin Love, then Kevin Love is going to be shooting wide open threes. So, and if that's what Toronto wants to do, throw it into Valanciunas instead of letting Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan go out and do what they do, and they want to make their game plan, well, we're going to ride Valanciunas, and then go ahead. Go ahead.
That's very fair. I really can't wait for J.R. Smith to come back so the Cavs can have their own version of the death lineup, but their death lineup is just them hitting every single three ever attempted.
They could just put Kyle Korver at the five and just go out and shoot a three on every possession.
No, LeBron would be at the pseudo five.
The pseudo five.
But
he'd also be handling the ball, so that's – I don't know. So that's why yeah,
that's why I said pseudo five.
He'd be guarding the other team's five. So if
– Yeah, he going off of defensive alignment, he'd be the five.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have Kyrie, LeBron, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, and your pick of Kevin Love or Channing Frye.
Yep.
Just bombs from every which angle.
Oh boy, yeah, that's gonna be fun. To be honest with you,
they might hit 33s in a game.
It could happen. It could happen. One thing that since we're talking about threes, it was really great to see. In Indiana the other night, that Kyle Korver really just have his game as a Cavalier.
The Kyle Korver game?
The Kyle Korver game.
Another team that was really hot. They had won seven games in a row.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. Things are starting to fall back into place for the Cavaliers a little bit. And it's good to see. I know that they went and they lost at Oklahoma City the next night. Doesn't matter at all.
They ran out of gas.
It just three. Not only was it the second night of a back to back, but it was also the third game in four nights. All on the road. Yes. So, yeah. Like I say, doesn't matter at all. Don't care about it. Whatever. We're not gonna play Oklahoma City again this year.
They might. What if?
Oh no.
Oh, how great would that be, though?
Oh no.
What? How great would it be if OKC could somehow, some way, unthrone the Warriors in the playoffs?
It would be great, but it's not going to happen.
I know, but God, Russ Westbrook would be my favorite person in the world. He'd be so petty about it. It'd be great.
It would be awesome. All right. Well, I have about 10 minutes left, so anything else you want
to discuss? Yeah. I want to get away from the Cavs a little bit here.
Okay.
How about the train wreck that is the New York Knicks right now?
Oh, my goodness.
Charles Oakley, Phil Jackson, James Dolan. Just I don't know. There cannot be a worse situation in sports.
They are the Cleveland Browns of the NBA.
They are worse than the Browns. The Browns never had to.
The Browns are silently awful. Silently.
The Browns never had to put one of the greatest players in their franchise on the ground and arrest him at a game. Ever.
Hang on. Charles Oakley is one of the greatest players in Knicks history.
And he's got to be up there.
With, like, Willis Reed and
Patrick. I mean, I'm not saying he's the best, but he's a Knick legend.
He's a Knick former fan favorite.
He is a Knick legend.
Would you call Dennis Rodman a Chicago Bulls legend?
Yeah. Dennis Rodman was a big part of three title teams.
Tristan Thompson a Cleveland Cavaliers legend?
Maybe one day.
Oh boy.
If in 20 years, this group of Cavs wins three more titles. And Tristan Thompson, you know, like retires, whatever, 20 years comes back. Is he revered? Absolutely.
But he's not a legend. That's like saying that Amon Shumpert is a Cleveland Cavaliers legend.
The same thing. Any one of these guys can come back to Cleveland in 20 years.
You can't start throwing the L word around with role players.
Charles Oakley is a Knick legend.
He's a former
even more so now
role player.
Even more so now he's a legend because of this.
Oh, mercy. Okay. All righty then. The legend thing's kind of bothering me just a little bit. But all right, so yeah, they put a really popular former Knick player on the ground. Yeah, go on.
I'm done with you now.
How about Phil Jackson subtweeting Carmelo Anthony?
Jackson still is an executive blows my mind.
He's trying to get Carmelo Anthony to throw a tirade and then make him so that he becomes the bad guy.
I feel terrible for Carmelo. Terrible for Carmelo right now. Because Carmelo is the one that has to answer to all this. Phil doesn't have to talk to anybody, and he hasn't. Carmelo is the one that gets all the questions about it. And what's Carmelo supposed to say?
I don't know. He should just say that I want to go to the Cavs. Trade me for Amon Shumpert.
No. No, Carmelo Anthony can't guard anyone on the Warriors. Amon Shumpert can.
And this is where you and I disagree. But
who are you going to hide Carmelo on?
Andre Iguodala.
You already have to hide Kyrie on somebody.
Kyrie guarded Steph for games 5, 6, and 7.
You cannot hide Carmelo on anyone. He's that much of a defensive liability.
Put Carmelo on Zaza for all I care.
Zaza will go to town. I'm not talking on their regular lineup. Their death lineup. When their death lineup's out there, you already have to try and...
I just answered it.
You already have to try and hide Kevin Love. You already have to try and hide Kyrie Irving. And you've got to have Richard Jefferson out there, because Richard Jefferson is essentially your equalizer to that death lineup right
Richard
now.
Richard Jefferson is overrated as a defender.
But he is one of the key reasons they won on Christmas Day because how well he played on KD down the stretch.
On that day.
Yeah, that's what they're going to need in June. They're going to need four of those days in June.
So it boils down to Richard Jefferson is what you're telling me.
Potentially, he's a key. And I said that on Christmas Day.
Oh boy. That's all I have to say about that.
It doesn't boil down to Richard Jefferson, but he's a big X factor.
I have to tell you, it's been interesting. Have you listened to the Cavaliers, the road tripping podcast at all?
I have not yet. I've been meaning to get to it. I've heard good things about it, but I haven't been able to listen to it.
Completely scatterbrained, and it's not I didn't listen to episodes 1 and 2. I've listened to 3, 4, and 5. And it's scatterbrained and, I don't know. It's just, but it is fun to listen to one of them. They did on a plane, 30,000 feet in the air, and they kept making those jokes about being high and stuff. And it was just, I don't know, they basically just set up microphones and everybody and their brother had said something. I mean, you even hear Jordan McRae in the background saying, no, I don't want anything to do with your stupid little podcast, basically. But, that's fine. So it is kind of funny to hear some of the personalities on the Cavs, but a couple things that the most recent one, they had Kevin Love on. He's actually on episode 4 and 5. They recorded all at once, but they split it up into two parts. And Richard Jefferson, I don't remember what Kevin Love said, but Richard Jefferson basically just said, if you'd have been doing that, you'd be on, or if you continue doing that, you'd be on the Knicks already, or something like that.
Oh, and that's funny.
It's hilarious to just, I mean, it was, I was in my car listening to it and I laughed out loud when they said that. So clearly the Cavs don't have any, like even the players think it's absurd, the idea. And that whole thing.
But you don't for some reason.
I don't think basketball wise that it is the most absurd thing that's ever been talked about.
It's not good. Doesn't help them beat Golden State.
If Kevin Love, you know what will help them beat Golden State? If Kevin Love exploits his matchup. The problem is that he doesn't against Golden State. And that's the only reason why I think that, you know, have said before that trading Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love wouldn't be a terrible idea. Now, if Kevin Love goes out and they throw it to Kevin Love on the block and he can score against Draymond Green, that helps them beat Golden State. But he hasn't done that. So I'm waiting for him to do that. It looks like he's going to be around to try, and I hope he does, because I don't think Kevin Love is a bad basketball player whatsoever. I do think that against the Warriors, he hasn't been very good. Even in the Christmas Day game, he shot like 40%. I know he made a couple threes, but he wasn't efficient. So I don't know. I hope he's good, because if he can, you know, if he gets the ball on the block and he takes little 6'5 Draymond Green and he goes and scores on him, then that's exactly what I want him to do.
Draymond Green is not 6'5.
I underestimated, but he's still an undersized power forward. He's
6'7.
He's still an undersized power forward. That's the point that I'm making.
What was LeBron?
Should be able to, yeah, but LeBron plays small forward because Kevin Love is the power forward. So the point is, Kevin Love.
Well, KD's 7 foot tall.
That doesn't matter. The point is that if Kevin Love can use his size advantage against Draymond Green to his advantage and score on the block and not just stand out and wait for LeBron or Kyrie to kick him the ball for three, then that helps the Cavaliers immensely.
I think everyone knows the Cavs have to play a different game than they normally play in order to beat Golden State. They have to slow it down. They have to play their game or they're not going to win.
Right, and the Cavaliers weren't willing to do that in the regular season. They didn't do it on Christmas, and they scrapped back and they won the game, and they definitely didn't do it on Martin Luther King Day. So
Martin Luther King Day, they didn't care.
Yeah, and they didn't – I mean, they didn't even play – you're right, they didn't care, and it showed in the fact that they didn't play – the game plan that they are going to have to play to beat the Warriors. They just went out and they played and said, heck with it. Let's just play basketball. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it didn't. So
if he dies, he dies.
Yeah. Who cares? Whatever. I mean, no championships were won in January, which is when that game was played. So, yeah. And there was another joke that Richard Jefferson made. Oh, and Richard Jefferson made a joke. That's like, I don't remember what he said. He said, he said something, so-and-so doesn't get serious until around the playoffs, which is kind of like most of our team. So he openly, willingly acknowledged that they don't care about any, I don't know, anything that's going on right now.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
And I'm okay with it too. I just thought it was great that he acknowledged it and that I don't know, that it said on the airwaves over a podcast with a microphone in front of him. So, I don't know, for our listeners, for you, I encourage going and listening to it. It's not any groundbreaking stuff, but it's, I don't know, you get a little bit of insight into some guys' personalities, and Kevin Love, who's a guy who personality-wise I didn't know a whole lot about, and listening to it, I know a little bit more, so it's been good.
He's really come out of his shell this year.
He has. Dating a model will do that for you.
Yeah, she's attractive.
Yeah, just a little.
All right, well, I think that's all for me. You have anything, Buckets?
Nope. Got to get out to shoot around here in a second. So
who you got tonight?
Maysville.
What's the scouting report on them?
Oh, they play tough man-to-man defense, and we're going to have to be strong with the ball and execute and see what happens.
What's the point spread?
Got to say they're favored, but
by how many?
Five or six.
Five or six, and I'm taking, at their place?
At their place. So I'm taking the John Glenn Lady Muskies.
Hmm. Well, good luck. I'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.
Well, I'll be watching the Cavs play and the Warriors Thunder tonight. Just enjoy
myself.
That'll be fun. Should be a good time. Yeah. All right. Well, for Buckets, I'm Danny Cunningham. Thank you for listening to Episode 8 of Burning River Basketball. See you later.
Make sure to check us out on the web and on social media. Goodbye.